Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has so many wonderful things to say to His people. He loves us so much. And everything that He does is out of His vast amount of love. We can operate just like Him. We can do precisely what He does if we yield to Him. And I know that I share that a lot, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We all have a voice, a say-so. We are speaking spirits. And what we speak goes. Last night I was thinking about something, how the power that we possess in Christ. He gave us the ability. He left us in the position that He was in. As He is, so are we in this world. That means a lot. That means that we can undo the works of darkness. We can live the standards of God's Word. We can choose a greater life for ourselves. We can inspire others to do greater. We can love people when they need us to. And everything is possible to those who believe. And when we believe and act on His Word, the limits are off. There are no limits. But our greatest power is in yielding to the Lord. First, we have to drive out the things of darkness, because our God will not build on a bad or weak foundation. He'll only build on a true foundation. And He will only do what's right. And because if there's a law that we bear fruit after our type, that's true with animals, that's true with men, whatever we are, that's the kind of fruit we're going to bear. If we try to allow things in our lives that shouldn't be, and we minister to people, they're going to do what we do. I've seen it so many times, so many ways. So the Lord has to find people that will obey Him first and follow Him. Now with that, we may not realize what we allow. It takes a close relationship with the Lord to drive out, to help. You know, the Canaanites were on the land that God gave the children of Israel, and they were charged with driving them out. But it took looking to God to do it. Judah was a tribe that realized this revelation. The tribe of Judah, and Judah is called praise. Judah would look to the Lord when others would look to their strength. You can be a well-trained military man, special forces even, well-trained, well-developed, strong in your body, no military tactics, and all manner of warfare. And our special forces are some of the greatest. And Mossad and Israel, they are the greatest. I heard they were the greatest by people that were special forces. Nevertheless, you can be the best trained special forces person, people, even a tribe of them, but you're not going to be able to do what people who look to the Lord can do. The Lord can take people that will look to Him and do much greater works than people that were trained and well educated. And there's a lot of reasons for it. So the only way to have the foundation we need is to look to the Lord. And the only way to use the strength that God has given us is to look to the Lord. And the only way to do His will is to continually look to the Lord. So in those three phases, you know, to get you to a point where God can anoint you and and build on that anointing and work. You know, he helped you overcome the necessary breakthroughs. Now, when we met Abraham, there were four breakthroughs that he had conquered through. He broke through in four areas. First, he recognized the Lord himself. He recognized the Lord and he made a decision to follow him and stick with the teachings of Noah and Shem. So he broke through the popular religion of the day, headed by Nimrod. He broke through Nimrod's deception for himself. He broke through, he questioned it, and he did something about it, and he stuck with the teachings of Noah. He broke through. And then the Lord gave him instructions. He said in Genesis 12, he told him what to do. And see, when we go back to the beginning and and look at how God does things, why would God choose Abraham out of all the people in the earth? He chose Abraham because Abraham believed God. So after Abraham broke through his own ranks, his own limitations. See, it's not easy to break through something you've been taught from a child up. It's just not. But there are people who can do it. And you got to understand there were probably no preachers going around teaching people, unless Noah did it and Shem and some of his sons. But nevertheless, he heard, he learned about the Lord that saved Noah from the flood, and he looked to him. So he broke through himself, and then the Lord told him in Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So your surroundings, your protection, you're going to leave it. People didn't do that because other people would kill you or take what you had. And he was very wealthy. So he told him to leave his, get out, leave your country, your kindred, and your father's house. The persuasions of the land, the persuasions of people in the culture, and then your kindred, the people you're around, people you grew up with, they have their own culture. And then the persuasion of your family. These are the breakthroughs we have to do in order for God to do the things that he desires to do in our life. You can't take, he will not build on corruption, and he will not build on pride, and he will not allow man to take the glory of God because it's dangerous. That kind of pride is what happened to Lucifer, and they make a huge mess. Now, I said in another broadcast, Lucifer was not the greatest angel that fell. He has ranks of angels that fell that were much greater. They were much wiser and older than he was. He had to make five ascensions, right, in Isaiah chapter 14. These were realms. But he was beautiful and he was wise. And he started an insurrection. And anybody that starts an insurrection, there's somebody out there that's much wiser, much smarter, much more educated that would join your ranks. So you don't have to be the smartest person in the room to usurp authority like Lucifer did to start an insurrection. You just have to be stupid enough to try it. And somebody that wants the same desire, that share the same desires, they'll follow along with it. But when people do these things, people are trained in whatever they believe. Whatever they allow as truth, they'll receive it as truth. They'll believe it and act on it, even if it's wrong. But the Lord builds on a clean, firm, strong foundation because that's the wisdom of God. He wants people that will represent Him from the heart, not out of coercion. That's why, you know, He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Those that really love Him from the heart, they're sincere, they have love, they have sincere love, and they look to the Lord. They are the ones God chooses. And they are different. They don't change. They don't go with the flow. So if we look at how God built things, and after this, Abraham never went backwards. Now, when he lived in the land 10 years, he did something he normally wouldn't do. He took a concubine as a wife. It was his wife's idea. He didn't even desire, he was not going to do that. It was Sarah's idea. He went along with it because he was in the culture of Egypt. He had been in that land, in Canaan land, 10 years. So he took the concubine as a wife and had Ishmael. This proves that your culture, you can't just leave the culture up to happenstance. You have to look at it for what it is. You have to look at the Lord in every stage. And this is what's missing in our culture. We built a wonderful nation under opposition. This country has had so many oppositions, so many demonic people that were trying to go the other way, while people were loving God and going the correct way. There were people that were doing witchcraft in the background. And there were people that was doing evil and plotting and secret societies, all this foolishness, slavery, bigotry, all kind of problems. But there were those who broke through it, saw it for what it is. And they came in every color too. Good Christian people that love God came in every color, and evil people came in every color as well. And, you know, in the midst of slavery, we had the Underground Railroad, people that were working against it. Then you had the abolitionists, people who said something and did something about it. We had a lukewarm Congress that didn't want to talk about it. We broke through as a nation and as a culture. Slavery was demolished through prayer and dedication, along with other things. And that was always an attack. But the point is not that. The point is that the nation still became one of the greatest nations on earth, or the greatest nation on earth, at a time when Israel was not in their land. And because of this nation and the word of God, Israel was, and the love of God in other countries, because this is not the only country that loved God. There were people in England and Britain and, you know, every nation had people that loved the people of God and loved the Jews. And they broke through all the propaganda and the hatred. But the point is, in order, there are people that will break through and not just go along with things. And there are people that will cower down to darkness. But God will only build on the life of men and women that are sincere towards the ways of God. And so they're in love with God. They love each other. They love His will. They love His ways. They love His word. And they do it. But in every stage, we need the guidance to get to the next glory. In every stage of our life, it takes following God to get to the next glory. Because it's just like driving out the Canaanites. You might know what to do, but You may have a feeling of what will work or a thought of what will work, but that doesn't mean it'll work. Following God will always work. But this is a day when people have enjoyed a prosperous society. They've been taught about Jesus. They know what he stands for. They love him. No doubt they love him. And they preach his word. And I believe some will even die before recanting their faith. But they don't follow him according to the standard that I'm talking about. They do what they believe is right according to the word. But following God is receiving the word, but it's watching God and acting on what he prompts you to do. And that's a huge difference. It's like daylight and darkness. If I just go by the word and I make decisions based on the word, that's good and acceptable. But when the Holy Spirit guides me, see, now I'm involving the timing of God and the method of God. The word of God is a pattern, and it will always be a pattern. But the guidance of God is always perfect, and the timing is perfect, and the methods of God is perfect. I had a message. The Lord had given me intelligence. I talked about it on the last broadcast, Forever Faithful. I had intelligence, but I didn't have a platform. And I didn't understand. I knew things that people, that I could tell people needed to know this information, and I wanted to give it to them, but they were the wrong people. They were the people that would not receive it, and God knew it, but I didn't. I trusted that they would receive it because they loved the word and they taught the word. They inspired me, but they could not see what I was saying or didn't want to see what I was saying. And the Lord has raised up people that will. If you're listening to this, you're one of them. I mean, the Lord told me when I did this website, he was going to send people to it. He'll send people that would receive it and grow from glory to glory. Most people won't receive this. They're looking at life according to their ways, their culture, what's around them. Culture has a strong impact. It has a gravity. All culture has a gravity. If you're around it long enough, you can get vacuumed into it. That's why the Lord taught me with the enemy, never underestimate your enemy. Look at it for what he is. He's an enemy. Deception, look at it for what it is. From a certain point of view, it'll start looking good, but it's wrong. It's going to always be wrong. It's going to always be devilish. It's just a devil with a mask on. But it doesn't always look like a devil with a mask on. And that's the problem. So I had to trust the Lord and do what he said do. And I learned to yield to him. And the Lord always saw more than I did. Now this is where people are missing it. They know things scripturally. They know what they need to know, and they want to perform it. They want to be good at it. They want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And in some ways, he will say that to them, I'm sure. But if they don't follow God, they cannot go to the next glory. And I have an example. That was the time I did everything I knew to do, and it didn't work. I tithed, gave offerings, but I still had a nagging problem of not having enough money at the end of the month. And I know I had a lot going out, and I know I upped my management skills, managing money better. I cut down on waste. I did everything I knew, and it still didn't work. That was still a problem. And I said, "Lord, something's wrong, and I don't know what it is." And the Lord worked with me. I didn't see what it was. This is the difference between following God and following what you know is right. I did everything I knew. And some of the things I did were still dumb, but it wasn't. After I learned, I made adjustments. But one thing that was, one problem I had that I didn't realize it, the Lord, he clued me in by saying, don't ever worry about money in my presence. And I said, wow. You know, doubting or worrying, fears, those things, that's a belief. And it's a destructive belief. And I didn't realize it. I would work, no matter how tired I was, no matter what I needed to do, I would work till I made enough money to pay whatever it was I had to pay. And because I was worried about, and I didn't realize I was worried. I had been taught against worry. The Lord taught me not to worry, but I didn't call it worry. But I actually did worry because I would work, I would pressure myself to do something. I didn't take breaks, and I became weary too. I was about to end up in the doctor's office. Because one day I had one more tune-up to do. It wouldn't have taken me long to finish, but I was so tired. I sat on the couch, and NCIS came on. And they always do something real weird in the beginning, something just over the top. And I said, let me see what happens. So I watched an episode, and then another one came on. I was not comfortable in my sitting position because I was just too tired to move. That's what let me know I was about to end up burnt out. And I sat there and watched another one. And six episodes went by, and I'm sitting in the same uncomfortable position. And that let me know, you finna go to the doctor. You finna mess up. And I started taking breaks on the weekend. I stopped working on the weekend. And I had to build up to it because I had already set the pace of working on the... I started taking the weekend off, even though I couldn't afford to, or I thought I couldn't afford to. But I was pressuring myself because I thought I had to. I was worried. And so this went on. This took time to realize the whole problem. But the short version is I realized that I was acting on a fear. And that was a Philistine in the land that I didn't completely drive out. I said, what causes me to do that? And when the Lord said, don't ever worry about money in my presence, it clued me into something. And then another time he said, how do you want to live? As if I had a choice. I thought I had no choice. And this is in the same season, see. And I started putting two and two together. I said, Lord, teach me what I don't know. It's something I don't know, and I don't know what it, I can't put my finger on it. Well, years ago when he taught me how to be free from temptation, and women tempting me and stuff like that, the last thing he taught me was, don't fear falling. When I did something about fear, I was completely free from it. No matter what I saw, no matter what they did, it meant nothing. But the love of God was already in place. He taught me to love Him first. And I was more skilled in loving people, but I didn't process the fact you got to drive the fear out to be totally free from it. And this is true with culture. You got to drive all the fear out before you can be free from the culture. If a person's leaving a game and they're still afraid of the game, that's an attachment that Satan can bother them with. But when they come to the point that they love God, they love the people, they love the gang members, and they're not afraid of them, they're totally disconnected. A dog can sense fear, And then he feels like he's the owner if you fear him. But if you're not afraid of him, the fear comes back on him. Same thing with people, same thing with situations. So the short version is, I had the Lord, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I put two and two together and watched the Holy Spirit, watched what Jesus was saying. And I considered everything he taught me. I paid attention. I received everything he was prompting me to understand. And then I said, it's fear that I didn't, it's unchecked fear that I didn't even know was there. Because I'm not a fearful person. So I thought. But when I found it, I knew what to do. Then the Lord taught me this. He said, every morning before your feet hit the floor, command your angels to bring you cash. So now I'm in the love of God. I'm disconnected from fear. And now the angels can help me. And then I began to build and pay things off. And while all this was going on, my insurance doubled. A lot of things happened. I shouldn't have made it, but I did. But God was with me. We have to have his guidance, because there are areas, there are blind spots that only the Holy Spirit will see. When things that we don't see, he sees. And he can help us out. Now, I'm saying these things because it helps make people see the need of following God. And the only people that would do this are people that break through the darkness of this world. They have sincere love in them. That's the only way to break through the four stages. Abraham broke through four stages. We got to break through the same four stages. When he went to Canaan land, he had to break through that too. You know, he surrendered to it in Canaan. He took on a concubine. He didn't have to do that. But God blessed him anyway. God called him the father of nations. And after Sarah died, he married and had other children. So the Lord loves us, and he became the father of nations. He had several nations from Sarah and several nations from Keturah and the other wives that he took. We must follow God if we're going to fight a devil that outclasses us in knowledge and understanding. I would say wisdom, but you have to fear God to have that. Well, he was in the presence of God. I'm not trying to discredit whatever he attained, but he uses his knowledge for evil purposes. And he can deceive people that don't know the Lord. When we look to the Lord, we always outclass him. Now, there's another problem. If you grow from glory to glory and do the things of God, miracles are going to happen and you're going to know it. So when it happens, don't look at the wonders, the miracles, and the success. Don't get sidetracked by that stuff. It's normal for God to work miracles through people that love and trust him. Miracles, success, and even our growing from glory to glory, they are byproducts of looking to the Lord. And that's all they'll ever be. Byproducts. Let it continue. If you look at that stuff, you're gonna stop. And you'll be like the modern day preachers. They just leveled out, but they're not progressive. And they never will be. And it takes training to follow God. It takes training time. Breaking through may take a season that God don't have anymore. So either people are going to do this or they're not. And God, the Lord will take us as far as we go and at our pace. He loves us. You have to understand the mind and heart of God. He loves you for you. You're more important to God than his mission that he has for your life. Those things, we want to hear him say, well done. We want to do well because we love God. But that don't change the fact that you have to be prepared and trained by the Holy Spirit to go to the next glory and do the next mission. For whatever they did, as far as they've gotten, and they want to go even greater, we all want to do great things. We want to fill the void. You're not going to do it unless God guides you there. That's a process that has to be in place. It's not going to happen any other way. It's going to take an anointing, and it's going to take God's guidance to sustain you in this. You know, my pastor said, think big. That was a prophetic word. And I worked on that. I said, Lord, I don't know how to think bigger than I already think, but I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My only hope to do an impossible work, which I'm doing, is to look to the Lord. Now, these are my fail-safes, and I'll close with this. I confess with my mouth continually. Now, that don't mean every moment of the day, but consistently and continually, I say that I will do all that's in His heart. I'm preparing my heart to trust the Lord. Whatever He say, whenever He say, do something, I'll be on it.